I dream my life was done. I stood before God's Son. It was time to see what my reward would be. With love He reviewed my life, to count what was done for Christ. For that is what will last eternally. See, I've done my best to share that Jesus really cares, and He would save if they would just believe. But seldom did harvest come, and so few did I see won, until the Lord said, turn around and see.
And He showed me the faces of the ones who come because of me. So many faces that my life had led to Calvary. All those years I thought nobody saw, as I labored in lowly places. That's when Jesus smiled and showed me all the faces.
He said, though you did not see the yield, you were faithful to plow the field. And other times you helped me plant the seed. No matter how small the task, you did just as I asked. And thanks to you, these souls have been set free.
Then He showed me the faces of the ones who come because of me. So many faces that my life had led to Calvary. All those years I thought nobody saw, as I labored in lonely places. That's when Jesus smiled and showed me all the faces. And all those years you thought nobody saw, as you labored in lowly places, that's when Jesus smiled and showed you all the faces.
Well, amen. Thank you. I tell you what, it's good last night, it's been good this morning. Dr. Buchanan preached, and then Dr. Fugit preached, and a while ago Dr. Wilkins came up to me and he said, boy, that's a hard act to follow. And I told him, I said, I've thought about slipping out, getting sick or something, and bowing out this morning. I've always felt like the Lord loved me until this morning. I almost didn't make it to the meeting yesterday, and today I closed out a meeting last Wednesday with Brother Randy Taylor in his regional conference in Amarillo. And I think it was on Tuesday when I was preaching. I've been having a problem for some time with a hernia in my stomach. And while I was preaching, on Tuesday night it popped out. While I was preaching. And I got home and made me a homemade belt. I won't tell you how I made that, but I've got it on this morning. And I got home on, drove home Wednesday night after church, got home early in Thursday morning. Thursday I started getting sick. Friday I got sicker. And Saturday got more sick. Went to church on Sunday morning, Sunday school, and got so sick I told Brother Matt Hudson, our co-pastor, right before the 11 o'clock service, I said, I'm sorry, I've got to go home. And that was on Sunday. And Miss Gimlin asked me on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday when I got sick, she said, what are you going to do? You got to fly out Monday. I said, I don't know. I don't think I can make it. But I said, I've got to. And so anyway, Lord helped me, and I got here yesterday, and glad that I got here. And that's about all the whining I'm going to do right now. I think my whining is about over. I would like to say this before I preach this morning. I tell you, preachers, what you ought to do concerning this meeting at Faith Baptist, you ought to get behind it financially. The Bible said, bear you one another's burdens. And it's a financial burden to have a conference like this. And if a bunch of guys had just maybe set aside a little bit each month and then bring a good offering with you or send it to Dr. Angel and help bear that financial burden, boy, that'd sure be a help. That'd sure make a difference. And I want to encourage you to do that. If you would open your Bibles this morning to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, please. Nehemiah, chapter 2. I am going to say some things along the same line that Dr. Fugit preached, but I'm sure not quite as well as he said it. I want to preach this morning on the unseen hand. The unseen hand. Nehemiah, if we were to start in chapter 1, we'd find out that some brethren came from Jerusalem, and the first thing that Nehemiah wanted to know was how are things at home. And boy, the report that he got, they said the walls are torn down, the gates are burned, and everything's in rubbish, and boy, it just broke the heart of Nehemiah. And then God began to work it out for an open door for him to go back home and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and to take away the reproach. And we'll pick up that story in chapter 2, in verse number 7, where the king noticed his countenance and wanted to know what was going on. And he said in verse number 7, moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertaineth to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me, here it is, according to the good hand of my God upon me. Verse 17 and 18. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. The unseen hand of God. I want you to pray with me and for me, please. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, I'd like to do a good job preaching this morning for you, because you called me to preach. I'd like to please you in my preaching. I'd like to do a good job of preaching for these people that have come to hear preaching. But Lord, that'd be up to you. Lord, I don't want you to hide yourself from me right now. I've been there. I pray you'd touch me. I pray that your hand would rest upon me and anoint me. I pray you to help me to say these things. And I pray that the message would fall upon good ground in our heart and make a difference. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Nehemiah told the king what he would like to do, and the king gave him liberty to go back and rebuild the wall. And Nehemiah went back, and I think he's in chapter 6 where he said that they finished the wall in 52 days. Now, wait a minute, class. How could that be? How could a man with a few helpers put together again the wall around Jerusalem in 52 days? The answer is in what Nehemiah said. He said it was according to the good hand of my God upon me. Yes, Nehemiah was not taking any of the glory. He said, it's not me. It's the good hand of my God upon me. The unseen hand of God. It would have been there in that day and could have watched Nehemiah with his workers with a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other working. What we would not have seen was an unseen hand resting upon Nehemiah and his workers, the unseen hand of God. There is an unseen world. A world that we cannot see, but it's there. There is a place called heaven that we've not yet seen, but over in the book of Revelation, John said, and I saw, and I saw, and I saw, and John got to see that unseen place called heaven. There is an unseen place called heaven. There is an unseen place called hell. And we get a glimpse of it in Luke chapter 16, where we see the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, and we get to see a little bit of what's going on in hell. There is an unseen place called hell. There is an unseen presence in this world right now that we call demons. We cannot see them, but according to the Scripture, they're everywhere doing the work of Satan. It's an unseen world. I think Dr. Buchanan read the Scripture, didn't he, this morning, where we fight against that unseen world. We can't even see what we're fighting. Principalities and powers and rulers. An unseen world. In this world of demon spirits. There's also in this present time and world, there's another unseen group, and that's the good angels. Oh yeah, demons unseen in this world doing the work of the devil, but there's also the good angels dispatched from heaven. Amen. Sent forth, yeah, to minister, yeah, for those who shall be the heirs of salvation. Amen. We get a little glimpse of that over in the Old Testament when the prophet Elisha and his assistant were together, and the king of Syria was upset with the prophet. And he said to his men, he said, tell me where's that and I'll go fetch him. And said, well, he's down in Dothan. So the king of Syria sent a great multitude, a host of his army. And during the night, while these two men were sleeping, they encompassed there the mountain. And the assistant, he woke up early. Assistants ought to get up earlier than pastors. Anyway, the assistant got up early and rubbed his eyes, and he looked around, and he said, alas, woke up the man of God. He said, how shall we do? Look around. He said, they're everywhere. And the man of God said, there's more with us than with them. And the assistant said, okay. And Elisha prayed and said, God, open his eyes. And God opened his eyes, and the mountain was full of those good angels and the army from heaven. There is an unseen work of good angels. At Calvary, there was an unseen hand, I think. And the reason I think that is because when the Lord Jesus hung on the cross, Isaiah 53 said he was smitten of God. That means, I think this, that when the Lord hung on the cross, an unseen hand from heaven stretched down from the throne of God and smote His Son for our sins. The unseen hand of God at the cross. There is a hand present in our picture that we cannot see. I looked last night and again this morning at the banner up here of old-time religion. There's something that's through the years has been connected that makes old-time religion work. It's the unseen hand of God. I mean, if we take all of the elements of old-time religion, they won't work without the unseen hand of God in our picture. The songwriter, he said it like this. He said, there is an unseen hand to me that leads through ways I cannot see. While going through this world of woe, this hand still leads me as I go. His hand has led through shadows drear, and while it leads, I have no fear. I know 'twill lead me to that home where sin no sorrow e'er can come. I long to see my Savior's face and sing the story saved by grace. And there upon that golden strand, I'll praise Him for His guiding hand. I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still guided by the unseen hand. The unseen hand of God. Hey, how do you explain some things and some men? How do you explain it? How do you explain Joseph? How do you read his story. How do you explain Joseph? Hated of his brethren, but the hand of God was in the picture. How do you explain that Joseph, who became a slave, sold as a slave? How do you explain Joseph? The hand of God was upon Joseph. How do you explain Joseph when he became a slave and then was put in prison and he's there in prison for years? How do you explain that? The outcome. The hand of God was upon Joseph. While he's in prison, he was forgotten, but the hand of God was upon him. And then finally, after all of those things, you know the story of Joseph. He became the ruler in Egypt. How do you explain that? From hated and a slave in prison unto the ruler. I'll tell you how you explain Joseph. The unseen hand of God was upon him. How do you explain Daniel? As a teenage boy, taken captive into Babylon, how do you explain Daniel? The unseen hand of God was upon Daniel. How do you explain Paul? You read when he was lost, Saul of Tarsus, and how he hated Christ and the church, and how he made havoc of the church. And then, here he is crisscrossing the world, winning souls and planting Gentile churches. How do you explain Paul? The hand of God. And over, Paul, you'd hear him sometime in the Scripture, he'd say, "There stood by me this night. The angel of the Lord." That's how you explain Paul. How do you explain David? A teenage boy killing a lion and a bear. How do you explain that? David said, a lion came and took one of my kids, one of my sheep. He said, I chased him down and caught him and smote him. I killed him with my bare hands. bear, he said, a lion, same thing, I killed both of them. And then later on you read the story that he went up against a 9-foot giant and killed him. How do you explain David? The hand of God. That unseen hand of God was with David. Class, how do you explain the early church? You read the book of Acts and wow. Well, just verse after verse and chapter after chapter in the book of Acts, and you say, how? How did that happen with the early church? I mean, one place it said that even the building was shaken. How do you explain that? The unseen hand of God was with the early church. And you don't know me, but may I take a moment and explain me? How do you explain Clyde Gilman? I was 18 years old, living in Tatum, New Mexico, where I grew up. My mom and dad both were alcoholics. I was going the same route. They'd come as a teenage boy, not saved, of course. They'd come and put me in jail in Portales and put me in jail in Odessa, Texas. And then they put me in jail in Lovington, the county seat. Didn't know what to do with me. Trying to get me out of society. On my 18th birthday, I left Tatum by a back road running from the cops. But here I stand. How do you explain that? How do you explain that? There has been an unseen hand in my picture. That's how you explain Clyde Gilman. How do you explain Dennis Corll? I've heard a little bit of his past. Read a little bit, heard a little bit where he came from. But here he is. And what a ministry God has given him. How do you explain that? How do you explain Dennis Corll? The unseen hand of God. That's the only way you can explain us. There is an unseen hand present when we travel. The way some of you drive. No, it has to be an unseen hand. The only reason you're here. And those that ride with you. There's an unseen hand present as we travel, protecting. You agree with that? Years ago, I started a church in Farmington, New Mexico in 1972. And one day, my wife and I were eating at a Blake's Lotta Burger sitting out on the outside. And it was on 20th Street, a very busy street in Farmington. While we were sitting there eating a hamburger, all of a sudden we heard the tires squealing. And we looked around and a toddler that was eating with his family had wandered out into 20th Street. And a car had hit that little toddler right in front. And just as we turned around, heard the squealing of the brakes and tires, and we turned around, and I saw that little toddler flying through the air. And, of course, I'm convinced, well, it's over for him. They run out there, we run out there, and that mother picked up that little toddler boy, checked him over. Was there anything wrong with him? No bruises, no cuts. How do you explain that? Angels sent forth the unseen world, the unseen hand. There is an unseen hand present sometimes when we preach. I've been there through the years, Dr. Fugit, when God hit himself. I was preaching. Pretty evident. But there's been some times when I felt that hand. An unseen hand present when we preach. It's not always there. It's like one Indian said, he was describing a preaching session where he heard somebody preach, a preacher preach, and the Indian said, lots of lightning and lots of thunder, but no rain. And I've been there, haven't you? Lots of thunder and lots of lightning, but no rain. The hand of God was not there. Sometimes the unseen hand of God is present when we sing. Sometimes folks come and they sing and there's a difference. There's something different about not the song, but the singers. And the difference is the unseen hand of God is upon that singer or singers. There is an unseen hand in the church, in our church services. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. And we've been in those church services, haven't we? When you could feel the hand of God. I mean, you walk out after it's over and you said God was there. There's an unseen hand present in our church services. There's an unseen hand present sometimes when we witness. Sometimes. Sometimes, for some reason, the unseen hand of God is hindered. We go ahead and witness, and maybe even get a profession, I'm not sure. But God wasn't there. But then, sometimes when we witness, haven't you been there when God just took over?
Sure.
And you could see, boy, the unseen hand of God is working in this individual. We witness, give them the gospel, and the power of God shows up and they get saved. The unseen hand of God. What is it, class, that brings that, the hand of God? Well, I'm interested in that. I mean, what is it that brings the hand of God when we preach, when we sing, when we witness, when we have church? What is it that brings that unseen hand? Well, for Daniel, the Bible said he purposed in his heart. And I tell you, I think that when Daniel purposed in his heart, God showed up. You want to get God in your picture? Purpose in your heart. What brings the hand of God? Well, for Daniel, he purposed in his heart. What brings the hand of God? Well, for David, the Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. My friend, that'll bring the hand of God.
Amen.
What brings the hand of God? Well, for Job, among other things, it was his integrity. God said to Satan, after, well, you've taken all of his substance, and he went from the top to the bottom financially, and then you kill 10 of his kids, and yet God said, but he still retains his integrity. What brought the hand of God for Job? His integrity. What brings the hand of God? Prayer. Dr. Wilkins, we were on the same flight from Albuquerque and hooked up in Kansas City, and we were getting ready to board, and of course he had a wheelchair, so he got to board first, and I don't think he needs a wheelchair, but he likes to board first. And he said, you want me to save you a seat? And I said, Doc, I'm sick. And I said, I don't want to give it to you. He said, I don't care. He saved me a seat so he could preach to me. And so from Kansas, all the way from Kansas City to Chicago, he preached one of his books to me. But one of the things he said over and over, he said, we're not going to have revival without prayer. It's without the soul winning, yes, but without prayer, it's not going to work. What brings the hand of God? Prayer. Boy, hey, isn't that all over the Bible? Prayer and God showed up. Prayer and God showed up. What brings the hand of God? Prayer. What brings the hand of God? Well, God said, if you'd draw nigh. Hey, God said, if you'll draw nigh to me, you take a step toward me, I'll take a step toward you. And if you'll draw nigh to God, it'll bring the hand of God. What brings the hand of God? Hebrews 11 says faith in many other places. Faith! By faith! By faith! By faith! And that their faith brought the hand of God. Well, what brings the hand of God? Obedience. God spoke to Abraham and told him what he wanted him to do, and the Bible said, and Abraham obeyed! And it brought the hand of God in the life of Abraham. I just came to tell you this morning, class, if we don't get that the hand of God in our picture, it's not going to work. No. Oh, we can mechanically go through the motions, but if we don't get the hand of God, it's not going to work. And we've about gotten to the place where Brother Fugit said this morning, I'm doing this without. Lord, get your hands off. I don't need. We've about got to the place where that's where we're at. Trying to get the job done without that unseen hand. It's not going to work. I crave the unseen hand of God. For a sermon message, I pray, I read, I study. And God gives me the message. But there's more to it than that. I've been in my office. If I'm in my office, I go over to a chair, get on my knees, say, now, God, thank you for giving me the message. But now, God, I need you to show up. We've got to have the unseen hand of God. You stand with me, please. Now, Father, help us not to deceive ourselves, thinking that we can get the job done without your hand. Lord, the preacher said a while ago, sometimes you withdraw your hand or hide yourself just to see what we're going to do and how we're going to act. And if we think we can do it by ourselves, God, we need, I crave, I want your hand in my picture. Help me to take steps every day that your unseen hand may be present in my picture. In Jesus' name, amen.